When I started ministry, I started out working in children's ministry. When I decided that God did have some purposes for my life and I began to get involved, I started out working with elementary age, and then from there got involved in Awana, and then got involved in something called bus ministry. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. Here's a crazy idea. Let's go to a community and pick up 50 or 60 kids and bring them to Sunday school and minister to them and then provide a little food for them on the way back and take them home. And sometimes we'd make a visit to a zoo or something along those lines, and we'd just pack the buses out. And one Sunday we had 605 and people at our church, probably a church about our size, but just hundreds and hundreds of kids that we were going on this big activity. And as I look back, I think, what in the world was I thinking? Just the responsibility there and so much involved. But I started with children's ministry and reaching out to children. And I still believe it is very important. As Jesus said here, let the little children come. God wants us to reach out to children. There are more salvation decisions with children than with any other age group. People that come to know Jesus as their Savior tend to do it in their youth. They are very trusting. They want to hear the lessons. They get excited about the truths. Paula is going out teaching with the kids, and sometimes she'll tell me, I think I'm going to do this with the kids. And I'm like, those kids would not be interested. That is just such a lame type game. It's too immature for them. And I'll ask her how it was. And they loved it. It was great. It was so exciting. I'm like, but children want to learn, right? They want to grow. They are desirous to hear and to learn. And their ability to learn at that age is just tremendous as well. And the foundation that we set for that age is important. Along those same lines, we as a church believe very strongly, I would say one of our key values, it's not the job of the church to teach our teenagers and train our teenagers to make sure our children hear the gospel. The job of our church is to support families so you can better. We're partnering together, right? And I'm so thankful for the teachers as my kids were growing up in this church and how they taught lessons, and my kid, I'd go home and say, hey, what'd you learn about today? Well, I don't remember, or whatever. That was often the case. But later on, they would begin talking about what their lesson was, and they taught lessons to my kids that I thought, man, I hadn't thought about teaching those lessons. And there's a partnership, right? That's how we work together. The name of our church is Choice Baptist Church. It came from Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, which says this: choose you this day whom you will serve. So we've got to make daily choices, right? And Joshua, right after that, said this: as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He was declaring, this is something our family's going to do. And he understood that he, as the leader of his family, had a responsibility. We will serve the Lord. He had a responsibility in his family, in his leadership, to bring up his kids, his teenagers, his infants, to serve the Lord. That's the job of the family, right? God's given that responsibility, not to the church alone, but to all of us, and we work together to partner together. So the parents' example, what they see, not just when we're at church, but when we're at home, when we're driving, when we're stressed out, when we're not sure if we have enough money to pay the bills, when we're dealing with a circumstance issue, a relational issue, they're watching. And as Joshua said, as for me, he understood his example, and my house, we will serve the Lord. But children's ministry is vital as well. It's exciting, it's rewarding, it's life-changing. Just the things that have happened this summer have been great. And the opportunity to pour into our students and to see them become followers of Jesus Christ. I remember, as we were singing today, I was thinking about Mrs. Hoadley. I wouldn't go into the church nursery. When my parents came into church, they tried to drop me off, and I don't remember this, but they tell me they try to put me in the church nursery, and little Timmy Wilcox was nervous about going in. But Mrs. Hoadley was a very attractive lady, and I would go to Mrs. Hoadley, and she would take care of me and stuff, and so that was really great. I remember, I had different Sunday school and children's church teachers. Mrs. Murray played the piano, and she played that every Sunday that I recall being in children's church, she was there ministering to us. And Mrs. Wood teaching me stories about the Bible. And I've told you about Artie Mock that taught me in 6th grade and 7th grade and 8th grade and 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade. I mean, he had a big influence as far as my church life was concerned. Children's ministry and teen ministry is very vital. But I tell you, it's not just us teaching the kids. What I learned when I became a teacher, I was a first grade assistant, and then he moved to a different class, and I became a first grade teacher, and then I began working with fifth grade Awana kids, and then teenagers, and then young adults, and until I came down to start Choice and work with many different ages. And here's something I learned. The teacher learns more than the student. It's a great opportunity to pour your life into those kids, but you have nothing to pour into them if God's not pouring into you, and you begin praying and you begin studying the scriptures. And we should do it whether we're teaching a lesson or not, but so often we get in the Bible more when we become a teacher, and you grow in your spiritual faith when you begin pouring into their life and you realize, wow, this is exciting. I remember when I started just reading the Bible for myself and then transitioning to teach other people, and I was looking at these lessons and I was like, wow, man, these stories really are in the Bible. It's not just what my Sunday school teacher said, but it's there. It's in the black and white. I mean, this is what God has to say to me. And he began feeding me and ministering to me. And there's something exciting, not just about sitting and listening to a lesson, but to be pouring so you can teach another group a lesson. I tell you, children's ministry is very exciting. And parents, I got something maybe you've never heard before. So I'm going to teach you a great lesson here. Your kids want your attention. Okay, that's nothing new, is it? You already knew that, right? Your kids want your attention. If you want to know if they want your attention, just sit on the couch with your spouse for a few minutes and try to have a conversation, right? Have you ever tried to do that? They want to sit between you. Mommy, can I have a snack? Dad, can we go outside and play? Or whatever the case would be. You know, they want your attention. And it's not a bad thing. I do realize that when I hear my granddaughter's feet in the morning tapping down, pitter-pattering down through the hallway coming to see Gigi, and my name is Poppy, but she's calling me Pop Pop, so I don't know what my name's going to ultimately be here. But when that happens, we get excited. We get to spend some time with their grandchild. As a parent, that wasn't the case. Like, oh, the day has begun, right? I've got all these things I have to do and I've got to take care of. And your children need you. It can be overwhelming and stressful. Your kids can be very selfish, but I mean, slow down and enjoy this opportunity that you have, all the seasons that you have. Because not only do your children want your attention, they need your attention. And you come home from work, you've been working hard all day, you're traveling down through 95, and you walk in the door and you just want to turn the TV on for a few minutes or read the paper or whatever you do for a few minutes to relax, but your kids are there. And they need you to pour into them. They need you to give them a godly example. I mean, this morning, my wife and I heard something about, you know, kids going back to school. And she was just kind of regressing for a minute. She said, man, it went by quickly, didn't it? I mean, it goes by so quickly. And enjoy those times. Yeah, you've got to go shopping for supplies. Or maybe your kids are going off to college. And you're having to say goodbye for them a little while. But just enjoy it, because they need your attention as well. God placed your children in your home for that reason. You know, think of a baby bird. It's in the nest for a very short time. Some animals, they may have them for 6 months or a couple years. But God has given you your children to train and to develop and to pour into for many years. And take that huge responsibility. Three things come to my mind when I think of bringing up my kids. There were three words: touch, excuse me, touch, time, and talk. Those are the three words that I've always thought. Okay, how do I invest in my kids? Touch, time, and talk. Appropriate touch is so necessary at whatever age that they are. And I understand you turn the television on, whether it's about the Boy Scouts of America or Olympic gymnastics or churches or whatever other group may be, and there's inappropriate touch, and we understand how perversion has pervaded our society. But listen, we cannot live in fear. Your kids need appropriate touch. And even if your girls are growing up to an age and they begin developing, they still need that physical touch. One guy said, make sure you are fulfilling that so no other guy has to come in and fill that void. And you provide the right kind of touch. Giving them time. Life is busy. You have all kinds of things to do. But we've got to pour our life into our kids and to give them that necessary time. And then third, talk. And I don't mean lecturing them, though at times some young people over here, you might need it occasionally, right? May need some lecturing. But I'm talking about two-way communication. Us listening to what they have to say. Asking them questions. And trying not to freak out when, you hear. I remember, just thought of this, I was in middle school. I had to do a report. And so I decided I was going to do it on why people should not have to be drafted. And into the military. And so I went home. My dad said, why didn't you do it on why they should be drafted in to the military or whatever? And he just thought, hey, that's a pretty good point. I didn't do that article, by the way. I kept doing my own thing, really. But it was it always stuck with me. He was like, you know what? Think differently. Think better. Rise above the challenge. Don't just allow the people around you to conform you to the image. Our kids need our attention. And as a church, we do not want to take that responsibility away from you. Because it's not about bringing your kids to the youth group and letting the youth pastor and the youth workers bring up your kids. But we are here to fully support you. And we have just incredible ministries that I'm so thankful for the people here. I know that you love your kids, right? I tell you, there's some mama bears out here, right? I've seen you, if somebody says something against one of your kids, and maybe even if that was deserved, the mama bear comes up, right? And I understand, you love your kids. You are here to protect your kids, and you want the very best for your kids, and I understand that. I was telling my son John when he was headed to boot camp the other day, the officer that was talking to him right beforehand said, understand that when you walk through an airport or when you go through your community, people are going to come up to you and say, thank you for your service. How are you going to respond to that? I thought that was I'm glad they shared that thought. And then after they left, I shared with my son. I said, if that happens to you or a child does that, bend down and get to the eye level of that child and just tell them thank you. Because I appreciate people respecting me, but I really love when my kids get respected, don't you? There's something powerful about that. And us pouring into the life of our kids. Even this morning as I was walking in, I didn't really think about it till after I'd walked in. As I walked in, one of the ladies working in the nursery had her daughter with her. And so I said hi to the mom, and then I began talking to the girl, and she was real shy. Don, you know which one, because I heard you say, I'm not looking at you, I'm just going to talk to you, because you look at them, they got shy, you know, cower down a little bit and stuff. But, you know, parents like their kids to be loved on, right, to be respected. That's what's going on in this story that we're going to look at here in a second. I remember reading a book years ago when my kids were young, and I was reading about the importance of honoring age. The Bible talks about standing up and respecting the gray-haired man and the importance of honoring age and many ways that we can do it. And a guy in the late 1800s said, we respect age. But then he said this, but we don't dishonor youth. We honor everybody. And the reality is Jesus honored everybody. Parents were comfortable around Jesus. They were so comfortable that they were bringing their children up to Jesus. And they wanted Jesus to pray for their children. I don't know if it was sick children needed healing, or they were just hoping that Jesus would pray over them and that they would spiritually grow. The scriptures don't really share exactly why these people wanted to bring their children to Jesus, but they were comfortable enough to bring their children to the Lord and have him hold them and pray over them. It was such an important thing for Jesus here. You may recall hearing the phrase, children should be seen and not heard, right? Yeah, that's maybe a mantra from the 50s or something like, children should be seen and not heard. Basically saying we should just dishonor children. We shouldn't really think about them. They are insignificant. Even there's some civilizations throughout history and even currently that children are disregarded. Or maybe only the male children are honored and they have a female child and they don't want that child. They send them away. Even in early Christianity, when the Christians were taught very strongly to care for the widows and the fatherless, there were societies that would just leave children out to die. And the early Christians would bring these children, and very often female children, they would bring these girls and adopt them into their home. So much so that there were so many males in society that didn't have somebody to marry, and then they started looking to the Christian community because they were raising all these girls. They honored children. Today we live in a society that doesn't honor life a whole lot, wouldn't you agree? I mean, we could look at the issue of abortion or euthanasia, all those that devalue life, or over the past week or so, with mass shootings going on. And I've heard a lot of people blaming guns or video games or mental illness or the destruction of the family or political rhetoric. But if you were to ask me, and I'm no professional, I don't know everything, but I would say as a society we've stopped honoring people. We don't see life as valuable. And the whole Judeo-Christian ethic says people are important. There's the preciousness of others, that we are to care for people, that God loves everybody. All life is precious, no matter what their economic status, their educational level, the color of their skin, the personal choices, even when they are making sinful choices. Romans 5:8 said, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? So we value people. We focus on the preciousness of others. That's what we taught our kids when they were young. When they said, why can't I do this? Or why do my friends get to do this? Or why can't I pick the flowers in the field? We'd say, because of the preciousness of others. And if everybody did this, it would not be good for society. We have to honor the preciousness of others. People are important. And so in verse 13, they brought the little children to Jesus that he might touch them, that he was going to bless them. But the disciples rebuked them. If you read the first part of Mark 10, Jesus had been teaching. He was really debating the issue of divorce. The question was debated a lot in these days, like who can get a divorce, what are the circumstances, all those. And so they came to the master teacher Jesus, and he was talking about this issue of divorce. I'm sure the disciples were saying, man, little kids, stay away. He's ministering to adults. That's what's important right now. He's got to care for these adults. They were debating theology. They were talking about family. They were dealing with these adult issues. Kids, you just get away. They hindered the children from coming to Jesus. They rebuked the parents. Jesus doesn't have time for you. And Jesus says in verse 14, when he saw it, he was greatly displeased. That's a very strong term, by the way. You know what was really going on? Jesus was mad, greatly displeased. He's looking at the disciples like, what are you thinking about right now? You're so focused on what you want. You're focused on your priorities that you are ignoring the children. How could you be that way? He is greatly displeased. And so he says, let the little children come. Yeah, I grew up learning the King James. It says, suffer the little children to come and forbid them not. That's not a word we use. Like, I don't quite get that word. So we're using that New King James today. Let the little children
come to me. Jesus is angry. He publicly rebukes his disciples. And he says, stop stopping them. Let them through. Don't hinder them any longer, because this is what the kingdom is about. The kingdom is about these little children. It's not about these religious Pharisees that were debating these issues. It wasn't about the doubting Sadducees. It wasn't just about ministering to adults, but he wanted to care for the children. This is such a key passion for Pastor Flanders that a year ago, he left pastoring Flat Run Church because he knew in his heart God wanted him to focus on child evangelism. This weekend, he is concluding a vacation Bible school in Bel Air, Maryland, for a sister church, and he said things are going great there. And all his family packed up from home, and they're staying in a hotel for several nights just to be able to minister to this church and to the children in the community. And I said, what's the goal? He said, the goal is to have twice the regular attendance this morning as they did last Sunday morning because new families are coming into the church. That was his passion. That was his burden. And so when he shared that with me, and I know if you understand about evangelism and starting that off, it's not a slow process. And I said, would you consider coming on staff part-time while this ministry continues to grow? And we were having lunch one day, and I just said, you know, would you consider it? And I just kind of threw it out there. I was really kind of nervous about asking him to do that. And he sent me a note that day or the next day and said, I'm really interested in talking to you about that. And he's come and he's working with development, but very quickly he's moved into overseeing a lot of our educational ministries, especially with our children and growing these different ministries and working behind the scenes, and probably a lot of things you haven't seen, but things you are going to see as we move to the fall and ahead. And I just want you to consider that his ministry is worthy of our support. It should be a ministry that very soon we begin supporting. Look at verse 16. And he took them into his arms. Look at these action words. And he laid his hands on them and he blessed them. It's powerful, isn't it? Jesus is strong enough to debate the greatest religious leader, but he never was intimidating to these children. He cared for the weakest in society. And he picks up these children and he holds them and he loves them. And he ministers to them, and he begins praying over them. He took them up, laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. Let me share with you what I shared Wednesday night with our small group class. If you recall, we had a man come and talk to us about some political issues and some safety issues about 6 months ago or so, something along those lines. And afterward, he said, there's a couple areas that I think that you should focus on very soon as a church. And we began talking, and Pastor Ryan began putting some thought into this, and he said, I feel very strongly that we should create an elementary wing at the church. And he said, right now when our children come in, we take our nursery and preschoolers to one side. We take our elementary to the other side. We've established the sign-in policies and stuff and the pickup and delivering of the kids and stuff and set those policies up. And we're still wanting to work and strengthen some of those things that he said. If we had a children's wing, it would provide even greater security for us. And he said, now there are going to be some challenges that we'd have to work through. But he said, let's talk about what the win would be if we did that. And so we were in a staff meeting talking, and there's three things that I said very quickly. I said, I can tell you what the win is. The first is it's the security for our children, that's vital. We have added to our safety team and continue to grow in that area. And so here's an area that we think is just really important for us as a church as well. And as we were thinking about that, number one, it's the security of our children. I remember when my kids were in elementary school. They attended just a couple blocks from here, Hartwood Elementary School. I could walk in the front door and go into the office and talk to the people that were at the front desk and stuff. Well, because of the DC sniper and then some other shootings that took place in school, you may recall, school system said, we are going to lock the doors. And so the doors had to be locked and you could get buzzed in. Over the last couple years, as I do ministry in the middle school, if I go to a school, not only do they have to buzz me in, but I have to show them my driver's license or some ID before I can even walk through the door. And then, you know, they give me a label just like we do as a church here as well. But you know what? Society has said we just have to have more security measures. And that's what we have done over the years as a church. And, you know, we have never had anyone share that, you know, there's been any kind of issue with our kids, because for 27 years we've said we want to have safety measures here. We want to focus on that. We've done background checks, but we continue to grow that, and the security of our children is key. Second, the safety of our workers. We feel that's very important as well. All those that serve in our educational team, we want to have an ideal atmosphere and a better teaching environment. And so if you look around, some of that construction has already begun because we want to have a good environment, not just for our children, but also for all those that serve, and many of you serve in those areas as well. And then third, we want to have comfort for our parents. If a family comes in, we want them to feel secure as well, right? And so whether they're taking their kids to the nursery or preschool or our elementary classes, we want to have the very best that we can possibly do as a church. And so we are working on the sign-in and sign-out policy as well. I think we have a picture. Pastor Ryan said we should have a name for our kids group. Our teens, does anyone know what the name, what would be the right word, the logo or theme, something like that for our teens? Does anybody know what that is? Category 5, right, yeah. They want to make a difference, Category 5. And he said, I think we should have a similar thing for elementary class. And our church theme is Impacting Lives for God's Glory. And in one of our meetings, as we were talking about vision, what the church should be, he said, every ministry should be about impacting lives. Teens, we impact teens. And he said, kids, we impact kids. And he sent me a logo one day. And then I sent this, not going to tell you who right now, but you know, one of the creative people in our church, I sent this and said, I don't like this logo at all, but can you work on this logo? And it's called Impact Kids. And so let me just show you that if we have it. So Impact Kids logo. And that's pretty cool, isn't it? And what are we focused on? Looking up to heaven, bringing our kids to heaven. This is going to be our new elementary wing. And so this wing is going to have a sign, Impact Kids. That's our ministry, because we want to impact kids for God's glory. So we'll be moving some things around. September 11th is the goal for us to be doing that. But why would we do that? Because Jesus said, let the children come. And you know what? There's going to be some inconveniences for some of our adult classes. We're working through some of those challenges. But the win is about caring for the children and providing a secure place for our workers and a secure place where our parents say, you know what? I feel comfortable leaving my kids here. And our kids get picked up and their focus is that they learned about Jesus. Isn't that powerful? So let me just wrap it up with a few thoughts. Families, honor your kids. Have a godly lifestyle. Prioritize spiritual development. 2 Timothy 3 says, and that from a childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise through faith, wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We are to pour the Word of God into our children so they are saved, so they end up in heaven for all eternity. I remember when my daughters were teenagers, they had a friend they were over, and one of their friends says, you wouldn't believe it. And they mentioned one of their, I don't know if you know this, girls gossip sometimes. Have you ever seen that? But guys don't. We just offer prayer requests as guys. But, you know, women gossip and stuff. Well, anyway, so this teenage girl was talking to my daughters, and my wife was there and said, "You wouldn't believe it. So-and-so doesn't even want to go to college or have a career. All she wants to do is stay home and raise her family. Think, she has no goals in life." And Paula was there. And she said, "Wait a minute, you're talking about me." She's, "Oh, well, Mrs. Wilcox, you're different, right? You're different." And I know that sort of society, and I know some people have to work and all kind of other things. But let me say this, your priority is not how much money you make, but it is bringing up your family, right? And God speaks very strongly about the importance of us managing and guiding our home. That's always got to be our priority. Jesus said in verse 15 as he was rebuking the disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." Parents, don't think that your children are too young to accept the gospel. I remember when my kids were 3 and some of them were starting asking things about the, and I'm like, I don't want to lead them in a false profession or, you know, just the simplicity or whatever. And I tried to hold them off at times, and I understand that, we want to make sure they understand it, but don't think they have to grow up and be teenagers or adults. Jesus says the exact opposite. He says, if you want to become a Christian, you have to become as a child. He didn't say you have to be like an adult. Let's pour the gospel into our kids. Don't wait. A couple things I just want to give you in conclusion. Many schools are starting tomorrow. If you would, and these are things I have on my personal prayer list, pray for our school board. Our local Hartwood supervisor, her name is Holly Hazard. I keep her on the prayer list. I pray for the president, the vice president. I pray for our courts, Supreme Court. I pray for our senators, our governor, our local delegate. I pray for, you know, several of those individuals. But I tell you, it doesn't get any more raw than our local politics. And the reality is, they have a very difficult job. I don't like what's going on in the school board very often. I thought, man, I'd rather complain about it than make a difference. I just heard the other day that September 10th, supposedly they're going to be voting on some policies that are very immoral. And we as Christians need to be involved. But we need to be praying. I sent a note to our school superintendent this past week. And Dr. Kisner, I'm praying for you. And I shared with him some concerns that I have as well. But I tell you, more than me just complaining as a Christian is to be, I've met with him. I pray for him. What about your school principal, their staff, the teachers, everyone involved? We need to pray for our children. Our theme this year is leaving a legacy. What are we leaving behind? And the reality is, what's going on? Maybe, you know, you're a single parent. You have some limitations, whatever. But take the time and the opportunities that you have and pour into your family. Our future church leaders, community leaders, business leaders, our teachers, our coaches, our pastors, our friends, our parents, our politicians, all government leaders, all the influencers are our children. So let's make sure we're praying for them. Let me just close with this. I was talking to a dear friend of mine. I have several kids, and his kids were mostly grown at this point. And we were just sitting together, and I said, "Did you ever feel like a failure as a parent?" And he looked at me and said, now I wrote it down so I'd remember it. He said, "Failed as in the past?" And he looked at me and said, "Man, I feel like a failure often." And my guess is that probably many of you have felt that way as well. But the reality is, you just keep pouring into the life of your kids and praying over them and asking God for guidance and direction in their life, that they would accomplish everything that God would want us to. So let's just bow our heads for a minute. The first thing I'd like us to do is just pray over the children in our family and the children in our church family. Just take a moment right now. Pray for your kids by name. Pray for your grandchildren. Remember, Proverbs says, train up a child in the way that they should go. That is an admonition to us as parents. Focus on moral and spiritual development, teaching them the preciousness of others. Pray for our children's church teachers, our preschool teachers, our nursery leaders, those that minister to our teens week in and week out, teach our young adults. Just thank God for these influencers we have in our life and the multitude of counselors, your safety, bringing our kids to a like-minded environment. With all the pressures of society and school and the world system, a haven where they can come on Sundays and Wednesdays. More important than any sports team, more important than any degree, is the spiritual development that they receive. Let's make sure we're the right example. And we're not sending our kids, but we are bringing our family. As the buses start moving tomorrow morning, let's pray for safety and guidance with those drivers. As people get back into the routine of things, just pray for Stafford County and Fauquier County and Spotsylvania County, the surrounding areas here. God, help us to be a light to this community. And no matter what our schooling choices, God, I pray that you would be with families as they move back into the routine of the school year. God, help us as a church. I pray that the leaders in this room, each adult, would be excited about caring for every age group at Choice Baptist Church. That it wouldn't just be about coming to worship or to hear the message, but it would be about worshiping you through serving and pouring our life into the next generation. May we leave a legacy here. And right before we finish with our prayer time, Jesus said we must become as a little child to enter his kingdom. We can't enter it any other way. It's by simple faith. It's not by our works. It's not by our goodness. It's not by our church attendance or the moral life that we live, but it's through Jesus Christ and him alone. And if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, may today be the day that you call upon him. Dear Father, take this time, this message. May your will be done. In Jesus' name.